Achrechein ra, lehistapik, mishimos hamekablam, al hakrovim elov, mishimon hatzadik. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he was compiling his Mishnah, so he sufficed with only quoting names starting from Shimon HaTzadik, meaning even though obviously the Masorah goes way back before Shimon HaTzadik, as the Rambam just showed us, how it started with Moshe Rabbeinu teaching to Aaron and to the Zakenim, and Zakenim to all the different Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im to all the different throughout the period of Tanakh, to the end of the period of Tanakh, end of the Nevi'im, and then to the Zugos, so which we're about to get to right now. So we pick up with Shimon HaTzadik. Now Shimon HaTzadik is right before the Zugos begin. The Zugos are called Zugos because at that time the Sanhedrin was led by a Nasi and an Av Beis Din. Up until then, it was just a Nasi or just an Av Beis Din. Not sure which term we want to use. Probably we should use the term Nasi. There was originally always a person in charge of the basis. Moshe Beis Dino, Pinchasu Beis Dino, Yirmiyo Beis Dino, Ezra Beis Dino, which was on Sheikh Ezra HaGadolah. But very soon, we're going to get to the period of the Zugos, which I think we've discussed in our Masorah Shurim. And the Zugos are when they introduced a new position, a second in command, the Av Beis Din. So right before that period, we have two Rabbonim. We have first Shimon HaTzadik, and then his Talmud, Antigonus Ish Socho, who we remember those two great Rabbonim from the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Now, Shimon HaTzadik is easy to remember the time period that Shimon HaTzadik lived, because Shimon HaTzadik, the famous Gemara in Yuma, discusses how when Alexander the Great came to Yerushalayim, to conquer Yerushalayim, so Shimon HaTzadik went out to greet him, fully dressed in his big day kohen gadol. And Alexander got off the horse and he said, "This is the man that I see in my dreams before I'm victorious in battle." And because that Alexander reached out an arm, a hand to Shimon HaTzadik, they actually say that that's the reason why there are many Jews named Alexander, because at that time, Alexander the Great said, "You know what, I like you Jews so much, I'm going to do you a big favor. I'm going to allow you to put a statue of me up in your temple." So the Jews said, "Oh, thank you so much. Maybe instead," and that Shimon HaTzadik reportedly said, "instead of putting up a lifeless statue, I think we can give a much greater kavod. How about every person who has a child this year will name it Alexander?" And that's when the name Alexander started to become a Jewish name for Jewish children, named after Alexander the Great. So that's Shimon HaTzadik. That's the beginning of the period of the Greeks. Tanakh, the end of Tanakh, is Ashur and Bavel. The period between the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash is Paras, Persia. And now, Shimon HaTzadik, and basically a lot of the period of the Zugos and almost to the Tanaim is going to be the Greeks. So Shimon HaTzadik. So that's the first name mentioned, as you know, from Pirkei Avos. So Yidvar B'Mishnah, Davar Katzer, Akol Inyan and Rabim. So he was introduced into the Mishnah. He's the first name that we have in the Mishnah, in terms of chronology. V'hoya Hakol Mivur Lo L'chidud Sichlo. And to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because Rebbe was so sharp, so everything was so clear to him because he was so sharp. Aval lemishu pachos mimenu, inyanahu amok b'enav, shachachamim hakdumim loyu mechabrum el lenafshosam. So Rabbeinu Yon, the Rambam here, is trying to explain why the Lashon of the Mishnayos is so terse, so concise. And what Rabbeinu Yonah did, excuse me, what Rabbeinu HaKadosh did is he compiled the Mishnah, starting with Shimon HaTzadik, and he wrote in a very, very concise format. For him, it was very clear what he meant. It was like his notes. But right, you can imagine if you saw Einstein's notes, the Havdil, if you saw Einstein's notes, so they probably wouldn't mean much to us, because it would probably just be a few, you know, E equals MC squared. Okay, great. What's E? What's and what's C, what's equal. You know, I don't know any of those things. So to me, it doesn't mean anything. But for him, E equals MC squared meant the whole world to him. So if you don't know anything and you just see Arba Obos Nezik and Shor Bor Mav Hever, it doesn't mean anything to you. But now, Yair, now that you've sat and poured over Baba Kama, so now you know, sure, oh my gosh, sure. What is that? Is that Karen? Is that Regel? Is that Shane? And Bor? Oh gosh, what's the Bor that Mechayev Torah? Mafkir Rishusa, Lo Mafkir Boro, Mafkir Boro, Lo Mafkir Rishusa, Havla, or Chavata, Bor Tes, Bor Yud, Adam and not Caleb, right? It's like a million things. Now, right away to all of us, we already are thinking of all of those things because we've learned Baba Kama. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he wrote everything very tersely, but to him it meant a tremendous amount. And therefore, one of his talmidim, one of his contemporaries / talmidim, Reb Chiya, so he wrote a companion sefer to the Mishnah that elaborated on things that were perhaps not 100% clear in the Mishnah. And that's the Tosefta. The Tosefta, Milashon Tosefes, it added on extra beer onto the Mishnah. And the purpose of it was to add a lot more of analysis and a lot more information, things that would not be so easy to learn out from the Mishnah itself. And he did it in order so that we would learn how to extrapolate the correct conclusions from the Mishnah. And so this is also Rav Hoshaya or Rav Hoshia or Rav Oshaya or Rav Oshia. So those are the same person. We remember from the beginning of Baba Kama, what was it? Daftal Amid Beis. Dalet Amid Beis? Yeah? Gimel Amid Beis? Dalet Amid Beis? Dalet Amid Beis. Gimel? Dalet, no? Dalet Amid Beis. Someone check. Where we have the Brisa of new? What do you got, Yisrael? Three or four? Dalet Amid Beis. Okay. So on Dalet Amid Beis, so we have those two Brises there of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshaya that elaborate more, perhaps, on the Mishnah, right? A little bit of a discussion. What exactly they were trying to do there. The Rav Chiber Brisa, and Rav also wrote works, Sifra, Sifri. The Gemara will say every once in a while, such and such Tana came, and he had with him Mishnayos that he had compiled, meaning many different Tanoim compiled their collections of teachings, and as the Rambam said in the very beginning of this section, many of these teachings were very old. They weren't just recent from the times of Rebbe, but they came all the way back to Shimon HaTzadik and even further than that. And as the Rambam here alluded to, because Chachamim back then used to write to themselves notes. And imagine, again, Lahavdil, imagine, I don't know so many physicists, but imagine if you went into a library and you collected, you know, Einstein's notebook and Hawking's notebook and Golden's notebook and all the different famous physicists. And you took all of their notebooks and you took a line from here and a line from here and a line from here and you put it all together. So it would be Chinese to us. We wouldn't have any idea what's going on. So Lahavdil. Rabbeinu HaKadosh came and he took a line from Shimon HaTzadik and he took a line from Rabbi Akiva and he took a line from Hillel and he took a line from David HaMelech and he took a line from Shaul and Shmuel, and there were many teachings. The Gemara every once in a while will quote a line that it'll say, oh, Shaul said this, Shmuel said this, David said this. So a lot of the lines in our Mishnayos, some of them were written by Rebbe, but some of them were composed, those lines were composed many, many years before Rebbe. Ulam, lohayu elu abraisus kulin kitzachos debrei mishnah lo kitikun unyana v'kotzer mileha. But these other collections, like Rav Chiya and Rav Oshaya and Rav and all the other different amoroyim, tanoim that collected earlier statements, everyone made their own little collections, none of them were as clear, as concise, as amazing as the one written by Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The Alkein HaYisehi Iker. And that's why his became the Iker. Ritzon Elomar HaMishnah. It's not like he announced, okay, I'm officially now writing the official version of the Mishnah and you guys can all be second place. No. You know, you could do the same thing nowadays. You know, you have one guy wrote, one Chashev HaRav wrote a Sefer on Shabbos called Orcho Shabbos. And a nut, right? That was written by Rav Yitzchak Rubin and someone else, Gelber, I think is his name. And Rav Neuwirth wrote Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And there's Rabbi Rimon wrote a Sefer on Orcho Shabbos. Right, everyone's writing Sfarim on Hilchos Shabbos. So which is the one? And we have Chodashani from Rav Nissim Karelitz and Shevet Alevi. We have all these different Sfarim on Shabbos. So which becomes the one that everybody learns? Okay, the one that people feel is the best. It's the most clear. It's the most concise. So nowadays, it's not, you know, there's a lot of mazel. Which is the safer that ends up being the one that everybody learns? But back then, everyone was collecting Mishnais, but Rebbe's was the best, and that's why everybody learned it. V'chol achibur and olin achareav u'shnia meilan. Everything else that came became secondary. V'yam mechubedes eitz l'akol, and it was always the most respected. U'kishe ha'erichu oso, oso l'chibur ha'ma'im. And when they compared it to all these other collections, ra'ua bonos v'yashrua, melachos u'pilag shemiyalua, right, quoting a pasuk, telling us that everybody prays. And then certainly after that generation, meaning Rabbi Chia and Rav Hoshaya, those were competitive works because they were written at the same time. But once it became clear that the Mishnah was going to be the Iker work, so then in the generations following, nobody tried to write a competing work that collected the statements of the Tanoim. No, the Mishnah was accepted. At that point, everyone wrote commentaries on the Mishnah. You see, every once in a while, again, Lahavdil, you have a killer app that comes out that just destroys everything else that's in the market and it becomes the standard. So Lahavdil, you have that in Tkufos in Jewish intellectual history. For instance, you have a Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch came out, look at the 100 years after the Shulchan Aruch. People were not writing competing works with the Shulchan Aruch anymore. People started writing the Magen Avraham, the Taz, the Shach. They wrote on the Shulchan Aruch. It's not like the Shulchan Aruch announced, okay, I'm writing the official book, and after me, everyone just starts writing commentaries on me. That's not what happened. He wrote such a masterful work that it ended at Tkufa. When someone writes an amazing work, it ends at Tkufa because everyone starts to write on him. So that's what happened with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And you never had a generation after that that didn't invest its energies in analyzing and thinking about it. Every chacham, to the degree that he's a chacham, invested his intellectual focus and his intellectual, he invested himself intellectually in analyzing the Mishnah. Lefirov Hashanim. And over the years, people started having machloksim. And here, unlike the machloksim that the Rambam said when it came to Chazal, at this point now, sometimes the machloksim were because it was a long time. And seemingly what the Rambam is implying is that some of the machloksim started to happen because people forgot, over time. It wasn't, what exactly did Rebbe mean by this? Which, if this is what the Rambam's saying, it's very interesting. That means that the Rambam is arguing that a Mishnah, a machlokas in Mishnayis, is not because of a faulty transmission, as we saw earlier, but a machlokas in Mishnayis is because they were arguing about how to be Doresh using the Yud Gimel Mido Shatar Nidreshes Bohem. But it sounds like at this point that machloksim about what the Mishnah meant, meaning Amoraic machloksim about what the Mishnah meant, those can already be because of Shichacha. Interesting. V'nechle, right? You understand the difference, what I'm trying to point out here? The Rambam had this big chiddush that no machlokas is because of Shichacha. Machloksim and Chazal are because they analyze things differently using the Midosh Atar Nidreshes Bahem. It sounds like that was true until the Mishnah. Now, when you have machloksa Amoraim regarding what the Mishnah meant, then it could be that because of Rov Hashanim, because it was a very long time, there started to be machloksim about what the intent of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi was. ואין חבור מהם שלא חקרו והסבורנו במשנה וגילסה חידושים והביאה ממנו דמיונים על עניינים אחרים. And there was never a time when people didn't sit there, being medayik in the lashon of the Mishnah, trying to draw or trying to teach chidushim based on the lashon of the Mishnah. Ad shigi azman leRavina veRavashi shehem haachronim mechoch mehatalmud. We know Ravina and Ravashi, the Gemara tells us, they're Sof Hora, they're the end of the Gemara. For his bodeid Rav Ashi lechaber haTalmud, Rav Ashi went into bidur. He went into isolation in order so that he can work on putting the Talmud together. For his bodeid Rav Ashi lechaber haTalmud, you see, well, second, the Rabba tzasu lasos bidivrei kol abom ach Rabbeinu HaKadosh, kemosh os Rabbeinu HaKadosh, kedivrei kol abom ach Rabbeinu Moshe. What Rabbeinu HaKadosh tried to do to all of the Mesorah from Moshe until him, Rav Ashi did from Rabbeinu HaKadosh until himself, Rav Ashi. That means that he took all the different teachings and all the different analyses of the words of the Mishnah, and he tried to put it all together. The kolal kol divrei hamedabrim v'seichal hamizboininim u'perish hamefarshim v'dikduk ha'alachos. So he took all of the statements and all of the analysis and all the perushim and all the diukim, the kibtzam, the kovash hakol, and he somehow conquered all of it. He condensed all of it. He put it all together. He made sense of all of it. And he did this b'chachmaso b'meshen nasan al kadosh baruch hu minefesh pshuta v'kibur hachachma. He did this with the skills that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him, and he had a certain a nefesh pshuta. He had a certain madrega of anova and taras hanefesh and kibur hachachma v'chibur hatalmud. V'haisa kavanaso ba'arba devarim. Says the Rambam, Rav Ashi had four things in mind when he decided to write the Gemara. Ha'echad, perish ha'mishna b'chol ma'ashanafol ba midvar ma'mechilim inyanim rabim. Number one, explain the Mishnah. Mimachlokas ha'perushim, v'taynas kol mefarish al chavero, v'giloi taynas ha'emes, v'zer reishas ha'kavona sh'neskavim. His primary, let's say, kavona was to explain the Mishnah. Tell you what are the different opinions about what the Mishnah means. Try to explain the logic behind the different opinions. Maybe try to show by bringing proofs what the true, what we know, Araya. You know, from the way the Rambam is presenting things, the Gemara, from a certain sense, is really the work of Rav Ashi. It's true. For a couple hundred years, they worked on the Mishnah, all the different Amoraim. And every time the Gemara says Meisvei, it's not that Rav Ashi thought up that Kasha from a Braisa. He learned in yeshiva, and his Rebbeim taught him, listen, the Oilam asks on this Mishnah from a Braisa in Sanhedrin. So Rav Ashi was a good Talmud, and he learned all of those things. So he knew there was a Kasha from this Braisa, there's a Kasha from that Braisa, but he had to sit down at some point and put everything together. He had to sit back. Now, it could be some of it was already, everybody knew, just like, you know, a lot of times when I give you guys a shir. So we're talking about a shir, grama as opposed to garmi. So I'm going to tell you, there's a machlokas rishonim. Is it the Oraisa? Is it the Rabbana? And if it's the Oraisa, there's a Ramban, there's a Rush. Okay, I have the raid. I know the raid. So if I needed to write an essay on grama versus garmi, it's not like I have to start from scratch. I already have a whole framework that I got from my Rebbeim that I know because I learned by my Rebbeim and they taught it to me and they got it from their Rebbeim. And you know, I might add my own little nekuda, and then when you learn it, and you're going to teach it one day to your Talmidim or to your children, so who knows, maybe you'll like the nekuda that I added. So my addition has now become part of the Masori that you pass on to your Talmidim. That would be a very big schus. But still, I would never be able to claim bailus over the framework, because the framework is something I inherited. So I imagine Rav Ashi worked in a similar way. But his goal was to explain the Mishnah. Number two, Hasheni. Psakadin al dasa echad mishnei acholkim shnechaku b'divrei ha-mishnah. Excuse me, what's the psak over perusha? There's a machlokas about din. There's a machlokas about how to explain a line. At the end of the day, how do we paskin? Or other chidushim shneschadshu ba v'shechibru ala, or other things that emerge from the discussion. Number three, Chidushe Ha'inyanim Shotziu Chachmei Kol Dor Ben HaMishnah. The new Chidushim that emerged from the analysis. V'gidloi Ha'ikar V'harayo Shehoru Behem V'samcho Lehem Atanoim HaMedabrim B'Mishnah Ad Shenesader Midivreyem Mash Nesader. V'agzeros V'atakonos Ha'asuyos Me'achrei Rabbeinu Ad HaMachaber Hazeh. So, first of all, there were lots of new, everybody knows who learns Gemara, that the Gemara doesn't just analyze the Mishnah. It usually starts by analyzing the Mishnah, but a lot of times it then gets into digressions, and it, you know, you can have five blot on a Mishnah where only the first blot discusses the Mishnah. And the next four blot are all a, you know, they jump from topic to topic and new things. So he wanted to put all that stuff together. He wanted to collect all that. He didn't want that to be lost. And a lot of times there were new gezeros and new takanos. So number three are chidushim. And number four, harevi, drushos, shehen ru'uyos, lefi inyan kol perek, shenizdame lios bo drash. So agarata, I believe is what he's referring to here, the agaric statements. Vizeha inyan harevi, now this fourth thing, ritzoni lomar, hadrash hanimtza betamud, the drushos, the agarata, he doesn't mean drushos here, I don't think. As I mean, we're about to see. We don't mean drushos like the way that they learned out of din from the Midosh HaTorah and drushos by him. We don't mean that type of drushos. What we mean here is agarata. Ein roi lachshov shemaloso ma'ata v'to'al toch seira. We are now beginning the very, very famous part of the Rambam's Hakdamah to the Mishnah. So he says, don't think that the agaratas are not really so important. And, oh, you should just skip the Agaditas. You know, it's a waste of time. Let's get back to the real Gemaras. Don't think that's true. Aval yeshbo tevuna gedola, b'nei shukol elchidos plios v'chamudos niflos. It has within it great secrets, great teachings, things that are hinted to. Ki hadrashos ahen kashi yistaklu bem yistaklu sichlis. If you analyze them properly, intellectually, yuvan mehen me'atov ha'amiti ma'she'en l'malam emenu. It will reveal to you the greatest good, the greatest, highest form of knowledge. You will be taught, it will reveal to you divine concepts, amitus hadvarim, mashe anshe achochma ma'alimim oso, things that they hid. They hid. You read a funny agadata gemara and you're like, what in the world is this talking about? What were these rabbis thinking? And you don't realize that hidden inside those words are very, very deep teachings. The Al Tabi, things that they didn't want, Ligaloso, B'chol Ma'ashe Gazrubo, Philosophim Dorosehim, and many of the teachings that great, great philosophic minds had stumbled upon, but they didn't want to just reveal it, because if you're not an expert, if you're not Roy, so you're not going to be able to digest it properly. It might even send you into thinking Kfira Dika thoughts if you're not properly prepared. So they hid their words. Now, if you read them, you're going to see things that are just wild and crazy if you start reading things just kipshuto. Things that are the craziest things you can imagine. And they did this for very specific reasons, for a very important reason, that they hid their words in these wild stories. Number one is to sharpen, polish the minds of their Talmidim. When you teach in riddle, when you teach in with mashal, so it requires people, it sharpens people's minds. The ode, Kedela aver enei aksilim. It also hides it from the eyes of the fools. Shlo yashiru libosam liolam. Who we know that they're not going to, that because they're not sharp enough, that they're not intelligent enough, or they're not roy. So we don't want it to fall into their hands. V'ilu ayisi marlem zohar amitos yisabu pnei amehem. And if we would explain it to them, they would say like, eh, not so great. Because they don't appreciate it. Their minds aren't sophisticated enough. Shnemar behem ubidomeyem, and it says regarding people like them, Ein megalem esasod. We don't reveal to them secrets. Because they're not really developed enough to really understand them. Okay, so I'm just going to do a few more minutes here. And the Chachamim certainly didn't even want to, sometimes the Chachamim didn't even want to reveal one to the other. Forget about Amaratzim. The Gemara tells us of a story how there was once a, this is in Gemara and Chagiga, where it discusses all the dinim of what you're allowed to reveal to who. And you're allowed to be doresh certain things in public, and not allowed to be doresh certain things in public. And it says there that one of the Chachamim, who was an expert in Ma'aseh Merkava, he wanted to get into a chavrusa with another person who was a big expert in Ma'aseh Bereishis. V'yomer lahem, lamduni Ma'aseh Bereishis, v'alam etchem, Ma'aseh Merkava. You teach me Ma'aseh Bereishis, and I'll teach you Ma'aseh Merkava. V'yomeru tova davar. Great. It's a great chavrusa. V'kasher lamdu Ma'aseh Bereishis. Listen to this move. So after Guy B taught Guy A Ma'aseh Bereishis, Nimna hu milamid lahem ma'aseh merkava. He said, no, okay, our chavrusa is over. I'm not teaching you ma'aseh merkava. And what do you mean? They made a deal. Chas v'shalom she'asim nei roa lev limnoa achachm. He didn't do it because he wanted to hoard all the information. O b'shvil she'elo yisar nolem, or because he wanted to, you know more than the other guy. So, haha, you teach me your stuff, and then I won't teach you mine. Shamidos elos megunos be'echara me'atipshin. That would be very maguna. That would be disgusting behavior. We wouldn't even expect that behavior from a fool. Kal v'chomer from chasidim nechbadim like these people. Aval aser davar azeh b'shvil shara atzmo roy lekabel mashiyesh latzlam. She'enam olim kav mel shayelam. Why did he do this? He did it because apparently when they started learning, so he realized that, you know what? I really am roy to learn the things that you're teaching me, but I'm seeing from this chavrusa here that you're not really roy for the things that I want to teach you. That emerged from the analysis. So it's like a little bit, you know, we hear that story and we're like, okay, you know, that's like a little bit of a controversial move there. But this is the MS. This is what he thought was the MS. Baby Rayal Inyan Zeh Divrei Shlomo Dvash V'cholov Tachas L'shonech. You keep honey and milk under your tongue. How do you explain that pasuk? It means the chachmos that are sweet, that the soul gets inspired by them. Just like, obviously, the palate gets very excited when it gets honey and when it gets milk. So too, there's certain teachings. And so just like there's certain things that are very sweet, there's certain things that are very sweet for the soul, just like there are things that are very sweet for the palate. And on this it says, tachas l'shonech, that you put them under your tongue. They shouldn't be on the tip of your tongue. You're not supposed to run around teaching them to everybody. There are things that you're in public. There are things that you're supposed to keep private. The ulam yer mezumehem because of rak remozim ne'elamim. So the chachamim were merames with remozim ne'elamim. They hid their words. They wrote things. They wrote down the secrets, but they wrote it always in riddle. They wrote it in code. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the mask, that which is blocking a person from seeing this great chachma, right? On the he quotes here the pasuk of Sod Hashem Liyreyov, which the Gemara uses in the context of supernatural, miraculous events. When sometimes supernatural things happen, or someone has some type of prophetic understanding of something. So it'll say in the Gemara, Sod Hashem L'Reyov, the secrets of Hashem are revealed to those who fear him. So again, the Rambam here says, when Hashem desires to allow someone to see the depth, to see the secrets, obviously in order to be able to reach such a madrega, a person has to first work hard and accustom himself to chachma and get a lot of chachma. Then a person will be able to understand them to the degree of his intelligence. It's very clear in the line that we just read that this is not a purely intellectual process. It's not just when you become knowledgeable enough, at that point, you'll understand. The Rambam goes out of his way to stress that there's an inyan here of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to remove from you the masvei of sichlus. Which means you can have a person who's a very, very knowledgeable person. He could be a Talmud professor. He could have a tremendous amount of knowledge, but if Hashem doesn't feel that he's roi to understand these things, he's not going to understand them. There have been some great professors of Kabbalah who have taught Kabbalah in universities. It doesn't mean they really understood what the Kabbalah, what Kabbalah was trying to teach, at least according to the Rambam. You know, I don't know, maybe if you would read a rationalist, so he would argue differently. But at least according to the Rambam, a person who is a Kabbalah professor doesn't necessarily understand the Kabbalah, because part of the process is that Hashem has to remove the blinding mask from before you. V'ein le'odom im ha'chochma u'drishasa v'yishtadlus. Now listen to this. And it is not a person with all of his chachma and all of his hard work and all of his 19 hours that he sits in the library in Hebrew University, sitting in the library and studying, with all of his focus, what should a person do? Says Maimonides, Lazov in Yanov Biyad Habore, Ulispalel Elov, Ulischanen, Livonenu, Ulahoroso, Ulegalos Losodos Agenuzin Akosif. You know what he says you should do? You should put everything into Hashem's hands. Lazov in Yanov Biyad Habore, and daven, and pray, and beg that Hashem should reveal to you the Sodos Hagenuzim Bakosov. If you thought that the Rambam just sat and he was just a very smart intellectual man, so he sat and he learned, so you see here the deep religious piety of the Rambam. The Rambam says in a very non-rationalist way that part of the process of gaining Chochmah is that you need to daven and beg Hashem to grant it to you. Kimoshe Matsanu David Olav HaSholem Osakim, like we find David HaMelech did. What does he say in Tehillim? Gal Einai V'Abita Niflos Mitorasecha. Please, he says to Hashem, reveal my eyes and let me see the Niflos of your Torah. U'kishiyegala Kadosh Baruch Hu Einai Adam V'yir Lo Mashehera. When Hashem does such a thing, Roy Lo L'Gunzam Kmo Shamayu. So it is appropriate for you at that point to hide them, to keep them private, not to be mefarsing them. This, he's trying to explain, why is there a din? What, we hoard knowledge? Why is there a din that you can't share certain knowledge? Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereshis. Rambam says, because it's not pasha that everybody has the right to learn these types of things. V'im yirmos mehem bima'at, and therefore what you should do is you can hint to them a little bit. Yirmos, and if you're going to do that, yirmos l'mishyesh lo seichel shalom v'noda mitoso. You should know someone that you should do it to a person that you know is a baldeya, baal chochma, such a person, a person who has proper hashkafos, kmo shaberu v'gilu b'masios rabbis b'talmas. You see in the Gemara that they didn't want to reveal it to people unless the person was knowledgeable, unless that person was a tzaddik, a yari shamayim. Right? There's a line that they say, people who say don't know, and people who know don't say. That's like the cute line they say about Kabbalistic teachings. V'alkein ein roi le'ish chacham legalos mashi yeda minasodos elu mishu gadol miven. First of all, it sounds like the Rambam is not learning Agadot Gemaras as just being a bunch of philosophic principles. He's understanding them as sodos, secrets. He's discussing them in the context of Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bereishis. So the Rambam Shita is that, as we've seen so far, that the stories in the Talmud, the Agadic stories, you know, there was a bird and it laid an egg on a city and it washed out 60 cities. And so the Rambam says that is not literal. That's trying to teach you something. Now, what's it teaching? Some people would say it's teaching philosophic truths. You have to know what a bird represents. You have to know what an egg represents. You have to know what a city represents. And it's teaching you something. You know, maybe the city, maybe the bird, it's an eagle. And as you know, the eagle was the sign of Rome. So the eagle is going to lay an egg and the egg is going to wash out 60 cities means that there's going to be an emperor of Rome and he's going to conquer cities. And it could be something like that. It could be a philosophic truth. It could be a secret about how Hashem created the world, Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereishis, a secret about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga in the world. And therefore, he says, the Rambam, you don't just reveal these things, except to a person who's a Chacham. You have to, Ein roi l'ish Chacham legalos ma'ashayidim minas el mishu gadol mimenu o kamohu. He has to be someone that's bigger than you, or someone, now you would think someone who's bigger than you would know it already, but maybe he wasn't trained in this specific area. Or to your level, shem yigalo seleksil, because if you reveal it to a fool, afal pishlo yiganehu, even if he doesn't mock it, which he might, even if he doesn't do that, or mock it doesn't necessarily mean that he makes jokes about it, but in his head, how many times have you heard things and been like, oh, come on, Chazal really thought that? So that's the first problem, that sometimes people will say, oh, this is just ridiculous. Even if a person doesn't do that, still, lo yitav beinav, it won't sit well with him because he doesn't understand it. That's why Shlomo HaMelech said, "Be'oznei ksil al tedaber, don't speak to a fool. Ki yovuz l'seichel milecha." It's a bizoyon. Your words of seichel will be disgraced in his eyes. That's why people who don't have Yirat Shamayim, people who are not really knowledgeable in this area, it's better just not to talk to them about these things, not to get involved with it. The ode. Says also sometimes another reason why you don't teach it in public is also because another reason why Chazal taught it in Melitzot and in Chidot and Mashal, the reason why he taught it with rhymes and it's not rhymes, mishalim, parables and riddles, is also because you need to speak to your crowd. And it's true that when you're speaking to, you know, you're speaking in yeshiva, so you can just, you know, get right to the Rav Chaim and right to the sugya. If you're speaking to a broader crowd, that's going to include families. So then you need to be able to speak in a language that's going to speak to them as well. So, And when, I read it wrong before, Adasher Yishlam Sichlam. So you tell them nice little cutesy little things. That's why, like when you were a little kid, so you were taught little cutesy things from Midrashim. But when you get older, you're supposed to mature in your thinking as well. And then you'll rethink these things. You say, oh, you know, my Ganenet always taught me ABC, but what does that really mean? That's what Shlomo HaMelech means in the very beginning of Sefer Mishlei, that it takes a while, it takes time to understand the mashal and melitza of the Divrei Chachamim and their chidos. And for these reasons that we've mentioned, that first of all, we don't necessarily reveal these things to everyone, and also that when you're speaking to a broader crowd, so sometimes you have to couch it in terms that will sit nicely with them. So for these reasons, the drashos, the agaritas, so they wrote them in a way, shiachiku seichel aksil lefi machshavto, that will distance the fool. You know, all those people that sit there and make fun of Chazal, so Chazal purposely wrote their words in a way that the people who are going to make fun of it will say, eh, why should I waste my time with Chazal? It's all foolish things. So good. We don't want them to be involved in it. So let them mock it and go, you know, study other things. He'll say it's foolish and it doesn't make any sense. And good, he'll spend his time on other things. Ve'en roi lismocha chisaron al adrashahu. And definitely the Rambam says, don't start mocking the Agadata. Chazal. Aval yesh lachshov shachisaron ba misichlo. You should always recognize and say that it's me who's lacking, not the Maimer Chazal. And this is the Rambam. The Rambam is not saying, listen, if you've studied the science and it's clear that Chazal don't know what they're talking about, so you can just chuck out the Chazal. That's not what he says. Ukishiyira mashal mi mishleim shu kashama od lahaskil lefi pshuto. And when you see something that they say, which is very hard to understand on a simple level, roilo lishtomim ma'od al sichlo shlohav inhan, you know what you should do? You should be shocked that a guy as smart as you, you have a PhD, a guy as smart as you doesn't understand what Chazal is saying. That's the attitude that you should take. Adashir, and you should be surprised. Wow, I'm such a smart guy. I can't believe I don't understand this. Asher hayu lo ha'amitios betachlis harichuk. That the way I am perceiving things, something that is true, to me, seems so rachuk. Sharei ha'scholim yeshtam yisaron zelzek fi yisronos ha'mizogim. First of all, you should realize that people's heads work differently. And different people are obviously certain people are smarter than other people. But even if you have two very smart people, some people understand, you know, you could say a guy has a math head, a person has a science head, he has a literature head. People think differently and different fields of study are better. Somebody might be better with Gemara. Somebody else might more naturally be better with Machshava. Sometimes you see a person is more naturally honest than someone else. This the Rambam talks about this in his Hilchos Deos, in the beginning of Hilchos Deos. How you have different people, they're born with a certain propensity towards different types of character traits. So the way it works with intelligence. You can't compare the mind of a person who understands something, a certain specific piece of information, to someone who's a fool in that area, someone who doesn't understand it. If a person gains a certain perspective, a certain piece of knowledge, so they're fundamentally, their mind is fundamentally different from that point than someone who doesn't understand it. One is called Seichel Befoal, and one is called Seichel Bekoach. One person has potential to understand something, and someone actually understands it already. And the Rambam is going to speak about how when a person understands something, that piece of information becomes a part of who they are. You know, we can relate to this regarding certain things. There are certain principles that we know to be true, and they so much become a part of our worldview that I'd be a different person if I thought differently. Right? Like we all think it's proper to be kind. It's a piece of information that's just so much a part of who we are. If someone tried to argue that it's better to not be kind, and they convinced you of that, that would totally rock your world. You'd have a whole different perspective on everything. So a person, think about it. Think about a person who's really sophisticated and is kind, and another person who's a real boor, and he's not sophisticated, and he's not kind, and he's gruff towards people. Think about those two different people. They're worlds apart. So it's true, the person who's a fool has the potential one day to maybe gain this information, but they're still worlds apart. And it's true with all pieces of knowledge, because every piece of knowledge you give shapes your perspective on the world. That's right, there's certain things that some people just have absolute clarity about them. They're positive that they're true. And someone else thinks that they're ridiculous. And a lot of that is because of the mile of chachma that one person has over the other. He says, let me give you an example. Let's take a person. He's a doctor. He's very knowledgeable about refuah and math and music. And he's very quick when it comes to science.
He understands all these things. He's a real math science expert. And he's very sharp. He's charif rayono. And he's yafetivo. Just has a nice personality. There's just something. He's very sweet, intelligent, put together person. For who not were vareik michachmas hatishvores. But he knows absolutely nothing about architecture or trigonometry or chachmas hakochavim. He doesn't know anything about astronomy. Vinevred, he's great with medicine and he's great with certain applied sciences, but he doesn't know astronomy. Vinomar lo, matomer be isha hu toen shaguf hashemesh anaroam kilu hui agulak tana shu guf kaduri. If you would go over to this guy and you would say to him, "No, what are you taina about the fact? I was speaking to someone the other day, and this guy claims that the sun, you know that little tiny little dot in the sky, that little circle in the sky? It's actually not a circle. It's actually a sphere. And it's huge. Godel ha-kador ha-hu, ki godel kador ha-aretz mea v'shishin v'shisha pam v'sholo shmenios pam. And it is 166 and 3/8 bigger than Earth." Imagine if somebody would say that to you. The kador ha-aretz, he would say that to this person. The kador ha-aretz and our Earth, and our Earth, you know, I just told you that that sun is 166 and 3/8 bigger than our Earth. And our Earth, I want to tell you that I'll tell you how big our Earth is. And our Earth, we did calculations, and the circumference of the Earth is 24,000 mil. That's the circumference of the Earth. V'el derech hazem magil adas kama milin yesh v'midas godol kador hashemesh. And because I know the size of our Earth, that's how I was able to find out, by looking at the sun and doing some equations, I was able to figure out the size of the sun. Because obviously I haven't been to the sun, but I know the circumference of Earth, and therefore I'm able to do the math. So imagine someone said that to you, and you knew nothing about trigonometry or geometry and astronomy. You didn't know anything about these things. Ein sofik sha'ishahu zacharayim, this very smart guy, asher hiskil min hachochmos kol ma shamarnu. He's very knowledgeable in medicine. Lo yimtza benafsha makom lekayim zosemun. It would be impossible for him to consider such a thing. The cholza dover rochok beta v'bilti musa. You can't understand. How can that be? If he knows nothing. See, it's hard for us to connect to this mashal because our educational system teaches us a little bit about everything. So when we went to elementary school, they told us a little bit about geometry, a little bit about astronomy, a little bit. So when you were, you know, you learned about what a reptile and what a mammal is, and you learned about what a star is as opposed to a planet, and you learned about, you learned all these different types of areas, you know, what a mass is and matter and time and circumference and radius. But if you didn't have a broad education like that, and you only learned how to be a tinsmith, you were an amazing tinsmith, but you didn't know anything about geometry, so this would sound like a ridiculously crazy thing this guy is saying. You would right away say, it doesn't make any sense. How could I stand on one single spot on Earth, how can I stand on Earth? Now, we're not talking about where there's space travel. How can the Rambam claim that he's standing in one place and he knows how big the circumference of the Earth is? He didn't go around the Earth. So we know already that they measure shadows and this and they with the fractions, but he doesn't know that stuff. So he's sitting there thinking, like, you're standing in one spot on Earth and you think you could figure out the circumference of the Earth and the circumference of the sun? It's so far away, the sun. It's millions and millions and millions and millions of years of miles away. It's light years away. I can't even look at the sun, let alone I'm going to be able to measure it to 3/8 of a fraction. I mean, when you look at the sun, you can't even really look at the ball itself because it's so bright. How could someone get to a calculation up to 3/8? It's ridiculous. We live in a very technological world, so for us, it's not so crazy. Obviously, if someone came into town and said such a thing, we would immediately assume that he is a fool. Now, you realize when the Rambam was writing this to his audience, they were probably also sitting, this was an amazing example, they were probably looking and saying like, oh my gosh, that's true. How could anyone know such a thing? If you start learning mathematics and geometry, and if you then apply this to the very well-known sefer about Tchunas HaGalgal, sefer al Magesti, if you would read this very, very famous sefer all about astronomy, so you would realize that it's not such a crazy thing. You realize that it's all MS. It's just you might need 15 years of college first in order to get there. And you'll see that it all can be proven. Something that at first seemed to you to be so crazy. At the end, you'll be the biggest proponent, and you'll be the one teaching everyone, because once you understand it, then it makes total sense to you. And you realize we didn't tell the story about someone who is lacking knowledge. He might be a very smart person. You can have a person who has a PhD in science, and he knows nothing about history. You have a person with a PhD in history, you know nothing about science. So again, nowadays that's going to be less common, because someone who becomes a PhD in science has also gone through college and he's taken history classes. But theoretically, we realize that someone could spend their whole life learning science and they won't know anything about history. So, if this is true for discussing mathematics, and which is a very important field, it's madrega shialu b'elohiyut. It's a stepping stone in order to understand chachma about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Rambam. We know the Rambam was of the opinion that it was important to learn secular wisdom, because secular wisdom prepared your mind and allowed you to come to an understanding of the divine. So, if that's true when it comes to something like mathematics, that someone could be very, very knowledgeable in one area, but he's going to have trouble, kal v'chomer, that someone who has no chachma at all, lo hirgel nafsho b'derech midarkei chachmos alimudios, he hasn't studied. If it could be true about a person who's knowledgeable in some areas, just not other areas, achas kama v'kama, someone who's not knowledgeable at all, he hasn't really developed his mind. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't studied. He came out of the womb and he busied himself with household issues, and he's not, he never really dedicated his mind to real deep thinking and real study. If you start asking him questions about Bria Sa'olam, Maisa Merkava, Maisa Voracious, things that are hidden in the Agada to Gemaras, Ain Safik Shein Rechokos Be'in of Karachok Shmayim and Aretz. Right? And he's the little pun here. It's going to obviously be at least as Rachok of his eyes from heaven to earth, right? Maybe playing a little bit on the sun-earth analogy. If that's going to be hard for him, if that's even going to be hard for a person who's very knowledgeable in certain areas, how much more so is going to be challenging for someone who doesn't know anything to understand Hashem? And that's why we should all right? You see that the Rambam himself struggled with understanding some Mamari Chazal. And he says, and therefore, what should we do? We should be being dan lekav schus on Chazal. And when we see things, we should try as hard as we can to study them. And we shouldn't be quick to dismiss them. And when we see that there's something there that's very hard to understand, we should rededicate ourselves to studying more chachma ad shenavin in yaneim b'davarahu until we come to understand them. If we can, maybe we'll never understand them. You see that the Rambam is going on and on about this. He obviously was very bothered by this issue. Must have been a lot of people that were mocking Chazal. Because the Chachamim, they had a tremendous taiva, he uses the word, taiva to learn. The tov harayon ve'yigia, and they were intelligent and they worked hard. And look at the Beis Medrash they learned in. They learned with all the other members of Chazal. And they also, we see again this theme in the Rambam, they distanced from themselves physicality. But yet, what did Chazal do when they got stuck? They faulted themselves. When they would compare themselves to the earlier generations, right now, every guy who's, you know, half intelligent, so he starts to say, you know, Chazal, what did they know? We know so much more than them now. We're modern people. But Chazal, when they didn't understand something that the earlier generation said, they didn't take that approach, even though they were really intelligent. And the Rambam apparently is not doing that either. You know, if you had to get into a brain competition with the Rambam, so I don't know how confident you should be. You're all very smart guys. But the Rambam for sure was at least as intelligent as each one of you. And yet the Rambam didn't look at earlier things and say, ha, ha, ha. Right? There's some people who think that they are being mamshich, the derech of the Rambam. And they think that they're the ones who are really putting the Rambam's perspectives on the map, and they're teaching the Rambam's approach. So it's funny, I don't see them teaching this approach of the Rambam so often. The Rambam did not take the approach that many of these people do. Many of these people, when they find something in Chazal that doesn't make sense, so they're quick to mock. The Rambam apparently did not do that, even though the Rambam was a pretty intelligent guy. He quotes here from Chazal. What does Chazal say? Libam shel rishonim kipischo shel ulam. V'shel achronim afilu kemachat sidkis einam. The minds of the Rishonim, Lev means mind, we've spoken about this before. The mind of the Rishonim was like the Pesach of the Ulam. If you watched the video that I sent to all of you, so you know what the Ulam is shaped like. Right? The Kodesh Kedoshim and the Kodesh was thin, but the Ulam was elongated in front of it. So the Pesach of the Ulam was a big entry, big opening. So if that was the mind of the Rishonim, then the Achronim, doesn't mean the Achronim, because this is Chazal talking, meaning the later Chachamim, isn't even the size of a needle hole. That's very small. Kol shekein anachnu, says the Rambam, she'achochma nifsika v'nedra mimenu. We were so cut off from the wellsprings of Chachma. Kasher hodiyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ovdo Chachmas Chachama v'binas nevonev tistatar, that the Chachma will be hidden. Now again, does that mean Yiras Hadoros? Does that just mean that we're lacking information? No, it sounds like when the Rambam quotes here, Libam Shel Rishonim, the minds of the Rishonim, doesn't sound like it means how much information they have. It sounds like there's a Yerida here. Sheyichei Rakas of Kol Echad Mimenu Bi'arba Devarim. The Pasuk here, and it's talking about what happened after the Churban. So the Pasuk here, it highlights four different things. Chulshas ha-seichel, weakening of the intellect. Chozek ha-ta'ava, strengthening of taiva. Again, you see that theme in the Rambam. Atzlos v'vakashas ha-chachma. Atzlos. To be lazy, to not be dedicated in your fight for chachma. And zrizus v'betza ha-olam. And a real chasing after all of the things that the world has to offer, all the physical things that the world has to offer. Arbos shvotov haroyim. These are four negative midos that cause a person to not be a chacham. Echlo nismocha chisar l'nafshusenu kishin arachos anu aleihem. If we suffer from all four of these things, how could we not blame ourselves when we don't understand Chazal? B'nei asher yadu aleihem ha'shalom binyan zeh, shekol devarim bruim v'nekiyim v'ein bahem sigim. And because Chazal knew that they were coming from a place of clarity, they knew that their words were very pure, sivu aleihem v'zhiru shelo yilag odem aleihem. Therefore, we're told, kol ha'malig al divrei chachamim nidon b'tzor rosachas. Anyone who makes fun of the chachamim is going to be judged in boiling tsoa. Now, this is a great example because that's the type of thing that you can laugh at and say, ha, 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 what does that mean? But there's a big pot in heaven of boiling fecal matter, and every apikoris, every malig al divrei chacham is going to be thrown in there. All right, I'll bring my bathing suit, Rabbi, right? So they'll be quick to make jokes about these things. So obviously, tsoa rotachas means something. It doesn't mean that God has this sitting up there, you know, with a big cauldron. So says the Rambam, and there's no greater. This is like a nice Maimonidean diss. So the Rambam says there's no greater bucket of boiling fecal matter than a fool who ha 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 goes and laughs at Chazal. The Alkane, we're going to finish up here. The Alkain lo timtzel liolam marchik divrayim, and therefore the only people you find that mock Chazal is only an ish mevakesh taiva, no saying Yisrael nahanos hamorgoshos, person who really, what he really wants is physical hana, asher lo heir libo bedavar min ha-ma'oros habihirim, who never really tasted, never really saw the true light of wisdom. This is the Rambam in quite strong language for such people. And because they realized the chachma of what they did, they spent all their days learning Torah. And they commanded us that we should spend the night and miktsas hayom. This is a beautiful diyuk in the Rambam here. It's not my diyuk. But miktsas hayom, why only miktsas hayom? Why not the whole day? So Rambam holds you have to get a parnasa. So you can't spend the whole day learning. You have to go out and get a parnasa. But that's why we were commanded that at night we learn, because at night we're not working. And miktsas hayom, b'samu tachlos hachachma, and make this our focus. Make it that this is what we should be spending our lives pursuing. B'chein hu, because it is. Because it is the ultimate MS, and it is what we should be spending our lives on.